And we're back. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS, 623 on this Monday. Hope you got through the weekend in one piece. It certainly is getting warm, but it's going to be cooling off very, very quickly. We've got so much to talk about on the rest of the program. We're going to be checking in with State Senator Rick Jones. You're talking about the greatest protector of Michigan's children, I'd say. The senator has several bills when it comes to kids, focusing on these e-cigarettes. Also, this thing called Palcohol. I don't know if you've heard of this. Palcohol. It's alcohol that's actually not liquid. And basically you can sprinkle it into water, and next thing you know, you can get drunk. And he doesn't want kids getting a hold of that. He also doesn't want kids getting a hold of these e-cigarettes. We'll find out what his approach is. The governor's already vetoed his attempt once. We'll see if this time things will be different. So down there in Texas, I mean, this is national news, but I'm still trying to figure out how this occurred. These bikers, these gangs, went crazy at a restaurant, at the Texas Twin Peaks restaurant. I mean, there were families there, people just having a normal kind of afternoon. Suddenly, next thing you know, this massive brawl, guns, knives, brass knuckles, 9 people dead. Let's talk to Kevin Malott. He's a security expert in Texas, just about an hour away from where this took place. You can find him online at erase.com. Kevin, great to have you on the program.
Thank you.
So, first of all, these biker gangs, are they like a national issue that we should be thinking about right now?
Well, there's biker gangs around the U.S. I think there's chapters in every state, and there's some overseas actually too. The unique aspect about this is most of the gangs in the last few years have gotten pretty quiet about open violence, mm-hmm. because most of them are running criminal enterprises. So if you're selling drugs and you're running prostitution rings and so forth, you don't need open violence attracting attention from law enforcement to scrutinize your operation. So, number one, it's very unusual for them to get violent out in the open like this.
Yeah.
And then the other point that's really unusual is most of the biker gangs have their own bars, their own hangouts, their own clubhouses. And you don't see this kind of stuff in a public restaurant that is in a plaza of other stores with normal folks milling about on a Sunday afternoon. Yeah. So that's what kind of blows this one out in the open, is open violence in an area occupied by the regular population and not just a clubhouse or a gang location.
Really? So biker gangs, they actually are somehow succeeding right now? I mean, are they like a growing entity in the country?
Well, they've been, biker gangs have been prevalent since the 60s. And they've got a very strong presence in the penal system. There's probably not a state prison around that doesn't have gang members in the prison,
mm-hmm.
and some federal facilities too. So the biker gangs are thriving. They are off the radar screen nowadays compared to the past, up until this past Sunday, because, just like organized crime found out that if you're out killing people in the streets, you are constantly being investigated, and that's bad business.
Gotcha. Now, in this case, there were police officers right outside the restaurant, right? They were expecting something. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is kind of another strange aspect of this. According to local police department rep, they thought they would have problems because of the gangs coming there,
mm-hmm.
and so they were just off property. So that when the incident took place, evidently it started in a restroom as a fight in a restroom, which is typical. Even the regular bars, the fights usually start where no one else is watching what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Started in the restroom and then spilled out, and then everybody got involved. And the police were close by because they said they expected trouble. My question is, why, if the police expected trouble, did they not take preemptive action?
Right. Well, I guess that they could have been. Now, is Texas Twin Peaks, is that a chain of some kind, or?
It's a franchise, and in fact, he brought that up because the parent company revoked their franchise this afternoon.
I see. So is it like what's it like inside? Is it like an Outback-type restaurant or Chili's?
Have you ever been to a Hooters before?
Not that I'm going to admit to, but yeah. Uh-huh.
Nope. It's that kind of restaurant, and you got young ladies serving drinks and food and, very little attire. But it is open to the public, and one of the things about that kind of restaurants, many of them, you can see the parking lot along the outside walls. They either have fold-away walls or windows where you can see the parking lot. So if you're a bike owner, you can actually watch your bike.
Keep an eye on it. Now I understand why it's called Twin Peaks. It took me a second there. So, by the way, I'm talking to Kevin Malott, security expert at Race.com. He's also down there in Texas where in Waco this massive brawl took place. Yeah, I know you're not supposed to ever touch a biker's motorcycle, right? That's the thing that can really get you in trouble?
Yeah, it's a lack of respect. And it is actually kind of interesting. You don't touch a bike, that's a lack of respect. You don't say anything stupid to the guy's girlfriend. And the biker gangs actually have turf. They have terrain and territory. So to be honest, if you and I were sitting there having lunch and I saw the second group of guys come in with different colors on, you know, that's their jacket that has the gang name on the back, You and I have been up and out of there.
Yeah, just quick, and before anything starts. So here's my question, though. This was a planned meeting, right? All these different groups were planning to meet at that time, were they not?
From what I heard, it was supposed to be a planned meeting, but I thought originally there were going to be two. Uh-huh. Then I heard there's three gangs, and then I heard there were five. The point is, amongst the gangs, even if you're negotiating with another gang for turf or enterprise sharing or whatever, The third gang shows up, you got instant trouble because nobody gets along with each other. And most importantly, if I'm making a deal to share my turf with you, it doesn't include these guys.
And when you say turf, what do you mean turf?
All right. The gangs take over physical areas where they control the drug trafficking, they control prostitution, you know, different criminal enterprises, auto theft, motorcycle theft. So the fact is, if a motorcycle gang is running drugs in one area and another motorcycle gang tries to come into their area, there's going to be a problem because they've actually physically, you know, looked at who's running what area.
Right. Now, let me ask you this then. So, I mean, this was not just a little fight. This is 170 people, bikers arrested. I mean, it seems like even if you've got a bunch of police officers, that's intimidating to deal with hundreds of marauding bikers. How is that dealt with exactly?
Well, first of all, I've met guys that were in bike gangs that wanted to run their business, did not want to go to jail, and didn't want to be violent. Mm-hmm. You know, they were running their operations, and they did not want to be on anybody's radar screen. I think I saw in the one video probably 30 guys sitting down on the edge of the parking lot on the curb. There are a certain number of guys that are not going to fight with the cops, and they're not going anywhere. And if they go to jail, they're going to go in for disorderly conduct or something minor. They don't want to get dragged into the real violent stuff. But in every element, you're going to have guys that are more criminally motivated and criminal experienced. Quite often, they're the enforcers for the gangs, and those guys get more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you what, when you see four or five police officers jump out with semi-automatic rifles, it doesn't matter if there's 100 of you on the ground. You know someone's going to get it.
Now, the nine that died, were they all just killed by fellow bikers, or did police end up shooting some of them?
I believe some of them were shot by police officers. And I don't have we're going to get the, just blanked out here. You're going to get the back from the forensics and the autopsy.
We'll find out how they died. Yeah. Now, tell me this, Kevin, because you've dealt with security not only in the U.S. but overseas, right? Have you dealt with these kinds of issues where there's concern about simply out of control people in public like this?
Yeah, absolutely. And the trick is to not let it get to that point to begin with. And number two is have the ability to segregate them. And this is where I go back to when the police said management wouldn't cooperate, so we were standing by. I've been involved where we served warrants on facilities and shut them down. There's always an occupancy code. You have to have a business license. You have to have an alcohol beverage serving license. Mm-hmm. You have to have the fire code, and you have to have your business license. And if you violate anything to do with making an area of public endangerment, all of those licenses can be suspended or revoked.
But tell me this. Why would this restaurant, this Twin Peaks in Texas, why would it even want to have any kind of biker presence there?
Well, if I was doing the investigation, obviously besides investigating who shot who and how that got started, I'd be doing a heavy investigation on the management of the restaurant to find out, was somebody in management aligned with anybody in the gangs? Mm-hmm. Were they aware if they were transporting and distributing drugs through their facility? Did they have meets there routinely where they were passing drugs off to the guys who were selling on the street? I mean, there's something very strange there because a normal restaurant manager doesn't want that kind of activity and would be asking for help when it first started, when the first 5 to 10 guys right. started hanging out there on a regular basis, they should have been calling for help.
Is it partly a Texas thing? Are biker gangs especially noticeable in Texas?
Well, first of all, having a motorcycle myself and having formerly lived up in Pennsylvania uh-huh. and in Chicago, it's a whole lot easier riding a motorcycle down here with no snow year-round.
True.
So you'll find bikers gravitating towards the warm weather states. Number two, you'll find the gangs gravitating along the border. If you're bringing in illegal drugs and if you're moving weapons and you're moving stolen cars and you're trafficking women, the border is the place to be.
Yeah.
So you'll see it across all the way across the South, out, even out to Southern California, San Diego area, and so forth.
Yeah, although it is curious that they're bikers. Like they wouldn't have, they can just drive cars and still be a gang. What do you think the biker thing is all about?
Well, I think number one, it's funny you say that because they impounded a bunch of vehicles in the parking lot that they said were driven there by gang members.
Uh-huh.
So anybody transporting any kind of product at all has got to have a truck or a vehicle that can carry product. The bikes don't carry much. But there's a camaraderie factor, the guys that ride the road. And this is important also. There's some very good motorcycle clubs in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
that are social organizations and the camaraderie of the guys riding together, but they have nothing to do with criminal operations. So, yeah. you know, the delineation is between a motorcycle club and a motorcycle gang. The gangs get into the criminal aspect and criminal operation.
Yeah, I've never bumped into a motorcycle gang on the road. Is that common in Texas where you'll be driving down the freeway and suddenly 20 bikers just wrap around you? Or?
Yeah, well, it can happen. And in most cases, they're just going from point A to point B, and it's no big issue.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is where people stop to get gas or stop at someplace out in the middle of nowhere and say something stupid. Because they're real big about not letting anybody push them around. And, you know, they're fairly assertive, to say the least.
I can't imagine somebody actually talking back to a biker and his crew. That seems like a death wish of some kind.
Some people out there, you know, aren't real smart when they're on the road. But the thing is, you got to remember, we also have these gigantic motorcycle rallies around the country in Sturgis and Daytona and stuff, where they all get together and don't have a big problem.
These are biker gangs, too, then, you're saying?
Right. Yep. Uh-huh. I've seen the biker gangs having guys at different motorcycle rallies, but nothing happens because they don't want to be up on the front side. And that's what I'm saying. Something occurred yesterday that was a major insult to one of the guys. And then once it started, everybody
you
jumped
can't
in.
Stop. On yeah. It's like a brawl. Right. And it had started in the bathroom of all places. Who knows, huh?
And what I want to point out also, Mike, is really important. The police recovered over 100 weapons at the scene. So they didn't all come just to eat lunch, you follow me? I mean,
they came, they walked into this public restaurant just armed and ready to go. Crazy.
If you got 100 weapons you recover, that means everybody was carrying, whether it was knives or handguns or whatever, but they're armed to begin with. I mean, regardless of what happens that day, they're starting out armed to begin with.
Yeah.
Now,
and I'm trying to imagine the families in the restaurant, they probably couldn't get their checks fast enough once they started rolling in there, huh?
Well, yeah, and the fact it was out plaza by other stores, too, so people that weren't even at the restaurant were in the environment.
Authorities are still trying to figure this one out. I mean, what, 100 and what was the number again, like 170 people arrested?
170 people arrested, 19 dead, 18 wounded.
Yep. Incredible numbers. Kevin Malott, security expert himself down there in Dallas, just an hour away from Waco, where this massive brawl occurred. Still trying to figure out how this all went down. Find him at erase.com. Kevin, thank you so much.
Thank you. You take care.
You also...